Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, all. Today we are going to continue our study in the book of Daniel. We are in Daniel chapter 4. So I'm going to ask all of you to go to Daniel chapter 4 and let's begin our interactive study. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to read Daniel verses 1 through 3. Now, I have the NIV version. Whatever version you have is fine. And I'll take somebody, as I usually do, someone that is willing and excited to read the Word of God. Verses 1, 2, 3, Daniel chapter 4. Don't hesitate.
Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation.
Amen. That was verse 3, right? Verse 3. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So here you have a pagan king, right? He rules an empire, right? He rules an empire. And here you have him praising God. Amen. So what is he going to tell us? Where are we going from this? Mm-hmm. So this, he's praising God. Amen. Because God has changed his heart. Something happened that God changed his heart. Amen. And he's declaring that God has done something. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders. Amen. Something has happened. Amen. So he's willing to praise God. Many a times we Christians, we fail to praise him. Mm-hmm. He's done things and we keep it quiet. Don't keep your testimonies quiet. Praise God, because when you let others know, you're acknowledging and you're giving God the glory. Amen. Let's not let Satan keep us from praising God. But here is this pagan king praising God. Amen. He says that God has worked these signs and these wonders. And look what he says. He says, it's an everlasting kingdom. This God has an everlasting kingdom. So whatever has happened has already happened. And he's praising God. And he's going to tell us what happened to him. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is what I love. He says, his dominion endures from generation to generation. God's sovereignty, his rulership is forever. It's from your generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, because he's an everlasting king. Amen. So that was, you know, that's there. Let's go to verse 4. Somebody read verse 4.
I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace.
And continue reading to 5.
I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me.
Amen. So he had a dream. And in the NIV version, it says terrified. He was terrified by this dream. Amen. He was in his palace, content, and he was prosperous in his palace, and he has a dream. Amen. You know, here is this king, right? contented, ungodly, a content, prosperous, amen. But God spoke to him via a dream. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he understood the dream is not the case. God was speaking to him through a dream, amen. And through this dream, remember, he's terrified. God has shaken this sense of security, this sense of peace. I am the king. I rule over all. Who can hurt me? And yet the God of the universe has shaken him via a dream. Amen. Because what's the reality for us? Whatever your circumstances, whatever you're going through, there is no real peace except in God. Mm-hmm. Because in God, we can go through stuff and we can go through trials and tribulations, but undergirding that is a supernatural peace. And that's the peace of God. And if you don't have God in your life, you cannot experience that supernatural peace. Whatever dreams, whatever happens, they're really going to terrify and rattle you. That's why we have to stay in the Lord. Whatever's going on in your life right now, you know the enemy is trying to rattle you. You know the enemy is trying to make you give up. But you got to say, no, in Jesus' name, I'm undergirded by the peace of God. And I don't know where this is going, but God knows where it's going. Amen? Amen. Amen. So verse 6 and 7. Would somebody read verse 6 and 7? Verses 6 and 7. Any volunteers today? Does it mean I have no? Marcus?
I can't.
Okay. Who's talking? I don't. Benita, go ahead. Oh, but you're muted, Benita. You're mute. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. The magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation.
Okay, what does that remind you of? Does that remind you of something we studied in chapter 2? When the king had a dream, right? The same king had a dream. But what happened? He couldn't remember his dream.
And what did he say? Tell me what the dream was.
Yes, exactly. That's what he said to his soothsayers, astrologers, magicians. He said, tell me what the dream is. Amen. And this is what they said to him. Daniel 2:4. They said, tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it. But what? He wanted him to tell him the dream. He wanted them to tell him the dream. And in verse 10, they said, there is no one on earth who can do what you want them to tell you the dream. You know, there's no one on earth that can do that. They're telling him. But they originally said to him, tell us the dream. Now he's telling them the dream and what happens. Amen. He's telling them the dream.
And they still couldn't interpret it.
They still could not interpret the dream. It tells you about these false people, soothsayers, these false astrologers, these false, what do you call them? That we have in the neighborhoods. Palm readers and all, it's all false. They cannot tell you what you have dreamt. Amen. Only God reveals. Amen. Only God reveals. Amen. So he's telling them the dream, and yet they're not interpreting it. Now, the dream wasn't really that hard to interpret. The dream was not really that hard for them, professing all this supernatural talent they had. Exactly. Amen. And But you know what it says? It says, let me, it says in here, let me find it. Okay. It says, in the NIV, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Now, in other versions, it says they could not make it known. Who has that version that says they could not make it known?
It's the New King James Version.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it says they could not make it known. So it doesn't say that they didn't know what it was or what it meant. They may have been afraid to interpret the dream. Because how are they going to tell the king what this dream really means? They might all be killed, you know? Mm-hmm. So they did not, bottom line, they did not, would not, could not interpret the dream. After they said, you tell us what it is, we'll interpret it. Amen? Amen. So, hallelujah. Let me say this. Many a times we ask each other to interpret dreams in a sense. We said, I had this dream. What do you think it means? Amen. So we have to be very careful with that. We have to be very careful when you ask someone else, because maybe that what their interpretation is not what God is saying to you. You know, you have to be very careful. So you have to go to God first. You have to go to God first, and God will open it up for you. God will give you the understanding if you are a believer, if you're born again, if you know the Lord. Amen? So we have to be careful with that. But in any event, in verse 8, it says, finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. Amen. So here's Daniel. Daniel's name after Bel. Bel is the god of Nebuchadnezzar. He's the god of gods of Nebuchadnezzar. And it amazes me that God allowed the king to name Daniel Belshazzar, the name of another god. But I also think that God allowed that because the king had to come to a place where he trusted Daniel, where he trusted. He had seen the works of Daniel. He had seen the interpretations. But God has a hand in everything. And here he is named after the name of Nebuchadnezzar's God. But Nebuchadnezzar recognizes that the holy gods, G-O-D-S, is within him. Okay. So he says, finally, if the soothsayers could not serve the turn, then Daniel had been sought. Okay. So this is a quote from a theologian by the name of Tract. Okay, his astrologers, soothsayers, magicians, they couldn't interpret it. So he comes to Daniel. Daniel was his last resort. Daniel, he didn't think of Daniel first, and yet Daniel was the one that interpreted the original dream. But Trapp says, this is the guise of graceless men. They run not to God till all other refuge fail them. And sometimes we do that. We turn to other people, right? Give me your advice. What do you think I should do? What do you think this is about? When we shouldn't even do that. We should turn first to God. Mm-hmm. Because God knows you intrinsically. God knows you in and out. God knows what you feel, what you don't feel, what you want, what you don't want, what you like, what you don't like. So we need to learn to go to God first. And that's a lesson.
What he has for you.
Exactly. And he's the one that can solve and resolve. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the thing is, another point that I have here is that, you know, in Daniel chapter 2, okay? Daniel chapter 2, well, we hear that he named Daniel after Bel. Even after what Daniel had done in chapter 2, which was Daniel told him what his dream was, and Daniel interpreted his dream for him. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal the mystery. That was in chapter 2. And yet the king has a dream, a very disturbing dream. So after professing who Daniel's God is, did he really turn to Daniel's God? No, he did not. Amen. See, what he saw, what God did, first, what did God do? The three Hebrew young men, he made them, they were eating, right? They did not eat the king's food, and yet they looked better than the other young men that did eat at the king's table. Amen. And then Daniel interpreted his dream. Amen. And yet, he was not converted. Yet, no matter what he said, his heart really was not with the God of Daniel. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's right. So, you know, is our heart really with our God? Mm-hmm. You know, we always got to examine ourselves. This is a constant thing, constant examination. Where am I with my God? Amen? What am I saying about my God? Amen? What am I declaring that's contrary to what my God says? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? So although he was very impressed by the God of Daniel, he really was not converted. And that's what we see in this walk, in this Christian walk. Many people want to talk about God. Many people that we minister to, I got it, I understand, I got it. But are they really converted? Mm-hmm. Really converted? We have to ask the Lord to help us in that area, that we can minister to people, that he will bring us at the point where people's heart is ready, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. Amen. We can share all we want to share, but if that person has not been convicted by the Holy Spirit, we're talking to dry ground. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to open up the hearts of those that we love and make them ready to accept what we have to say about our God. Amen. So that they will be truly converted. Amen. 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 So many are willing to hear. Haven't you ministered to people and what do they say? Okay. But they're not ready to accept. We have to ask God for those open doors and those open hearts and to deal with the hearts of those we want to minister to. Amen. So verse 9, can I have someone read verses 9 and 10? He is going to begin to tell his dream. So this is going to be a long reading because I don't want to cut the dream into pieces. Okay? So Pastor Bernice, if you're ready, you can start with verse 9 and let's take it through verse 12.
Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwell in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it.
Amen. Okay, let's continue with the dream. Verses 13. Let someone continue reading verses 13 through 16. Dr. Vinny, you have this? Mm-hmm.
I saw in the vision of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it and the bird from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his graze with the beasts, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him.
Amen, amen. And then, so this is the dream. Then in verse 17 it says, the decision is announced by messengers. The Holy Ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on the earth, and gives them to whomever he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people. Amen. 18 says, this is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Amen. So you heard his dream. I'm not going to interpret it yet. We're going to get into the interpretation, mm-hmm. because the word interprets it. Amen. So look, this is the dream. It's a very descriptive dream, right? So look at this. Nebuchadnezzar knew that he could get an honest answer from Daniel. He knew that Daniel was the man that would let him know what this dream is, even if it was difficult. Amen. Difficult for the king to hear. And look what he says. He says, you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. Amen. Though Nebuchadnezzar recognized, amen, that Daniel was a man filled with the spirit of the holy God, and yet, Nebuchadnezzar had never fully yielded to that God.
Amen.
We encounter people like that.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We encounter people. I know you're right, Mom. I know you're right. I know you're right. I know that God, I know that he's real, but I'm not ready yet. Talk to me another day. Okay, I know it. But not fully. What should be the word? Not fully submitting to the sovereignty of God. That was Nebuchadnezzar's position at the time of this dream. Amen. So then in verse 19, it says, then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries.
Oof.
So in that moment, wow. God opens up that dream to Daniel.
Right.
And Daniel is terrified.
Yes.
Don't forget that the king has been good to Daniel. I mean, he's made him lord of all his provinces and so on and so forth. And he's exalted the young Hebrew man. So the king has been good to Daniel. And Daniel says, oh, I wish this didn't apply to you. I wish that this applied to your adversaries. Amen. But look at what the king says. He says, right? He says,
don't worry.
Don't worry about it. You know, tell me the truth. The king wanted and was willing to hear the interpretation no matter what. Amen? So we sometimes, God will raise up people to give us advice or to let us know things. And many a times we say, no, no, God hasn't spoken to me yet. And I've said that in the past. No, I'm not going to do that because God hasn't spoken to me. Or I'm not going to Florida because God hasn't spoken to me. And yet God will raise up people. So we have to be very careful, you know, not to deny or not to accept. You have to weigh it and put it before the Lord. Lord, are you saying this to me? Amen. But what this king was willing, he knew who Daniel was. So what does that tell you? Who's coming to you and talking to you?
Mm-hmm.
Who's telling you what? You have to evaluate that too.
Yes, yes.
Who is the person that is coming to you? Who is the person that's trying to give you advice? Who is the person that's trying to tell you God said this? You know, is the person really grounded? Is the person really a lover of God? And I'll say, in today's world, God is ready to let us know. God is really ready to speak to us directly. If we really seek the Lord regarding anything, he will let you know. And he will let you know regarding individuals. Shall I accept this? Shall I put it on the shelf? Amen. But this king knew that the Holy God resided in Daniel. He knew who Daniel was. Amen. And so he was willing to hear what Daniel had to say. Amen.
Amen.
Even though Daniel was terrified. Have you been there though? When God shows you something and you don't want to tell somebody, you know, you're afraid to say this because you know it will not be received. But this king was willing to hear. So here's what Daniel says. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong. Somebody read that for me. Read verse 22 through 21 for me.
I'll try.
Okay.
Pastor Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwell, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home.
Amen. Let's stop there a minute. Get a vision of this tree, a tree that touched the heavens. If it touched the heavens, it means you couldn't see where it ended. It means that it was over all the earth. Amen. That the whole earth could see it. Amen. Hallelujah. A tree. Beautiful leaves. Abundant fruit.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, it tells us that when we get to where God is going to take us, to the heavens, there's going to be trees with abundant fruit. You know, prosperity. Amen. Provision. You know, and providing food for all. Giving shelter. Amen. Giving shelter to the wild animals and having resting places for the birds. Amen. This is a huge tree. And then it says on verse 22, go ahead, read verse 22.
It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth.
Amen. So Daniel is telling him what God is revealing to Daniel. You are the tree. The tree is a symbolism of you. Amen? Because he's not a tree, but it was symbolic. This is a tree. Amen? It's vast. Its kingdom is vast because it says it extends, the dominion extends to the uttermost parts of the earth. So this was an empire. This was not a little city. This was not a little country. This was an empire. And his empire had dominion over all. Amen. He was the king of kings on the earth. Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. And his kingdom provided, it said provision, food for all, security, giving shelter. So his kingdom gave shelter, gave provision. I'm from the kingdom of Babylon, you know. It was a vast kingdom where smaller kingdoms could not come against it. It was vast. It extended, he said, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he was the king of kings. Were there other kingdoms? I don't know. But his kingdom was vast. Amen. So he says, you are the tree. Then verse 23. Let's read verse 23. Somebody read verse 23.
And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him.
Amen, amen. So what? What is this? This is judgment. This is judgment coming from God. Amen. That's what it is. God is judging this king. Amen. So it says, cut the Holy One, a messenger. You know who those are, right? Those are angels. Those are different words for angels. So an angel comes from heaven tells him, cut down the tree and destroy it. But leave the stump. Amen. Leave it with bound with bronze and iron. Amen. Leave the roots in the ground. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about our God?
Not to kill it, not to destroy it.
That our God is a God of second chances.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. He didn't destroy him, but he needed to be taught a lesson. He needed to be taught a lesson. Amen. So he's telling him, leave the stump. Amen. You know, and the fact that it was, I kept thinking about this, bound with iron and bronze, the stump. So what did that say to me? I don't know what it said to anybody else. But what it said to me was, he was not going to allow any animals to come against it, to pick it, to destroy this stump. Mm-hmm. Amen. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of second chances. You and I may face some type of a consequence because of the things we've done. Remember, and this time and age, we will suffer the consequences of what we've done. We will be saved, but God doesn't take away the consequences. If you're an addict and you love the Lord and you die of an overdose, that's a consequence. You're still going to heaven. If you don't know how to pay your bills and you're in a major debt, God doesn't rain money down from heaven and pay your bills for you. Amen. We suffer consequences. We're not judged in this day and age. God is not judging us, but God will allow the consequences. He's not going to rain down money from heaven. If you refuse to forgive somebody, it's on you. You're going to feel the effects of that unforgiveness, because the other person could care less. Mm-hmm. That's a consequence. Amen. So we have to watch, you know, what we say, how we do it. but recognized that he said, leave the stump and let's bind it with iron and brass, because I'm going to restore this man. I'm going to bring him back. Hallelujah. God has second chances. God has second chances. And this is what verse, so we know he's a tree. We know that the tree represents the king. We know that his kingdom is vast. We know that it extends to the uttermost parts of the earth. We know that he is a provider for his people, that he provides shelter. Now, verse 24. Somebody read verse 24.
Okay, I'll read it.
Amen.
This is what the dream means. Your majesty and what the Most High has declared will happen to my Lord the King. You will be driven from human society and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses.
But the, amen. But amen. The, let's leave it there. And he gives them to, so look, this is the interpretation. So he's telling him what, and you know, what do we know that who drove him away? Who decreed this? Who did this? Who did this? God did this, right? It was God. God decreed this. Amen. And God decreed that he would live like an animal for 7 years. Whoa. 7 years. Amen. See, he says, you will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like an ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until what? Mark, until what?
Until the
appointment. Yeah. Oh. Keep the way you read. Read the last sentence. 7 times will pass, or 7 years, or.
Yeah. This means that you will receive your kingdom back.
No. In verse 24, read the last sentence.
Verse 24. The last sentence. This
they
is
shall
what
the wait you.
What? 24 or 26?
No, you just read verse 24. Read same verse, but read the last part of it.
The same
last
verse.
Part of 25.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. There's 25. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sorry. Looking at.
until you have learned that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses.
Amen. Amen. See? What? Yes. What kings, rulers, those in authority, we fail to see? It is God who allows men to reach such heights.
Yes.
Amen. He gives rulership and kingdoms to whomever we please, he pleases. The word of God says that he rises up and he puts others down. He rises some up and he puts some down. We have to recognize, and today in the political climate that we're in, and I'm not advocating for one, a politician or another, but we have to see that God is in control, that God rises men up and he puts them down. And so what is our position? We have to pray. We have to pray. We have to pray for those whom God has placed in authority over us. It says, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. God of the universe is sovereign over America.
Amen.
We have to pray. We may not like the people that are in position in our government, or some may like the people, but in any event, we have to pray. We have to pray for wisdom that God gives those that are leading our country wisdom. Right now, we are in a very crucial time. Very crucial. With the bombing of their nuclear plants in Iran, we have to pray for wisdom. We, whether you like the president or you don't, pray that God gives him wisdom to do what God wants him to do. Pray for Israel. Mm-hmm. Pray for Iran. Pray for Gaza. Pray. God so loved the world that he came. God loved the world.
Amen.
Listen, people are dying because of cruel regimes. Yes. Amen. And pray for the peace of Israel, because that's what the word says. The word of God says that Jerusalem, Israel, is the apple of my eye. Mm-hmm. Pray for Israel, because that's what the word says. We are believers of God, believers in God. And pray for the world. Pray for the Iranian children that are being killed. Yes. Pray for the Israeli children that are being killed. Pray for the children in Gaza that are being killed. When I was in seminary, this Japanese came to give us a lecture. He was there when Nagasaki was bombed by the USA. Mm-hmm. And he said, horror. Mm-hmm. Don't ever wish this to happen again to any country. Mm-hmm. We have to pray. But we have to recognize that God is in control. God is always in control. So we pray to God, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, save the children. The children are innocent. You know, pray for the God of the universe. Pray for our president. Pray for those in leadership. Whether we like them or not, we're called to pray. Let's go to Romans 13, verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. If you're at Romans 13, verse 1, I want you to read it.
Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God.
Amen. You see that? Amen. You see that? We may not agree. We may not like the person in office, or you may like the person in office, but God has ordained that. We have to recognize it. We get so stubborn that we refuse to recognize it because a person's policies and ideas don't match up with ours. But we have to say, Lord, you're in control. Mm-hmm. You are sovereign, and you're sovereign over my life, and you're my provider. You're the one that provides for me. Amen. You're the one that keeps me and my children secure. It's God. Amen. It's God. It's nobody else. Nobody can. You can't take care of your children. You can't take care of your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. But God can, and God sends angels to encamp about them and keep them safe. And that's what our prayers have to be. Lord, I surrender to your will because you are God and there is no other. And you are sovereign over my life. Amen?
Amen. So
I want us to keep that in mind, and let's pray. Let's pray for America. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray against the rising up of animosities and all that. Let's pray that God's benevolence and God's provision and God's love will be manifested in our country.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Verse 26, it says, the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you. Hallelujah. When you acknowledge that who rules?
Heaven.
Heaven rules.
Amen.
That's what we all got to get. And we all got to get that in our individual lives. We want to do what we want to do. And many of us, let me look at everybody's here. Okay. Most of us are New Yorkers. And we grow up like that. I got this. And I can do this. And you don't need to tell me how to do it because I know how to do this, right?
Yeah.
But we have to surrender to the Lord. We have to submit to God, and know that what you have and where you are today is because God allowed it.
Amen.
It wasn't you. You did what you had to do, but God allowed it.
That's right.
God put you in the right places at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
God connected you with the right people at the right time.
Amen.
And we have to begin to recognize that it's God. Everything I have, whatever intelligence I have, whatever degree I have, whatever position I have, it's all due to God.
Amen.
God paved the road. He lit the walk. He lit the walk. He guided my step. He opened the doors. He gave me favor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So your kingdom will be restored when you acknowledge that heaven rules. When we acknowledge that the kingdom of God rules. And look at that. God restores. He said your kingdom is going to be restored back to you when you acknowledge that I'm sovereign, that I rule, that I'm in charge, that I do whatever pleases me to do, whether you agree or not. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God takes what seems lost forever, and he restores it.
Amen. Amen.
He restores.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 27. Would somebody read that? Yes.
Hold on. I lost my thoughts.
Therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity.
Amen. So here it is. Daniel is giving advice to the king. Amen. Daniel is giving him advice. Amen. So what's the right response to this kind of advice? Amen. The right response, amen, is
your will be done.
Humility and repentance. Mm-hmm. This king had not repented. You know, it's all me. It's all about me, you know. And he did not do this. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel says, break off your sins by being righteous, your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Amen.
Amen.
So he received good counsel. Amen. But we know he didn't take it because the dream came true. The dream was fulfilled. And verse 28, let me try to move along here. Verse 28 through verse 30. Pastor Bernice, would you read that? Verse 28.
All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?
Amen. Whoa. You hear what he had to say?
Yep.
Walking on the roof, he's surveying his kingdom as far as he could see, and he gives himself glory. He gives himself glory.
Mm-hmm.
So he had not repented. So, and this is a year later. The dream was a year ago. Amen. What does Proverbs 16:18 says? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We have to guide ourselves. We have to be careful with pride. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. Pride. Try. If the enemy is filling you with pride, you recognize it. Let's recognize it in ourselves and let's get rid of it. Amen. Recognizing again that God is the one that has taken us to where we are. And then verse 31 through 33. Would somebody read 31 through 33?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Verse 31 to 33. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses.
Amen. 33.
That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched in the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird claws.
What a description.
Yes.
What a description, right?
Amen. Yes.
His feathers, his hair like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails like the claws of a bird. And we can imagine like a beast of the field, and had to be on his arms and his legs. Amen.
Yeah.
He was given the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
He was given the opportunity to humble himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not. The best thing we can all do is walk in humility. Walk in humility. Don't think I'm all eating a bag of chips, because we're not. We're not. We are what God has ordained us to be. We are children of the Most High God. And we have to recognize that he rules and he reigns. God gives us time to humble ourselves. God gives us time to repent. But this king did not. And what was the result? What God had ordained came through. He refused to listen to Daniel's advice. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored.
Amen.
And I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever.
Mm-hmm.
See how he said? He said, at the end of the time. Amen. The time had to be fulfilled. He could not end it himself. What God had ordained had to come to pass. So 7 years in the forest like an animal, amen, he could not break free from that insanity. Amen. Careful. Mm-hmm. Careful. We got to glorify our God. We recognize that he is God and give him the honor, the praise, and the glory that only he deserves. Amen.
Amen.
We've fallen so short of giving God glory. The churches today are all about activities and performance. The majority of churches. That's right, Vinny. The majority of churches. And everyone's, oh, I can sing better than him. I can lead the chorus and I can do this in my voice. Where's the honor? Where's the praise? Where's the reverence? Mm-hmm. The glory for our God. Go in your room and begin to ask the Lord for his reverence to come in. And when you sense a holy God, we serve a holy God. Yes. And people fail to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
We serve a holy God. It says no man can stand before the presence of God and live. Why? Because of his holiness.
Holy.
We have to be transformed. And that's when we will be able to come into the presence of God. Doesn't the word say that? At the rapture, we will be transformed. We will have a glorified body. Didn't the Lord have to cover Moses' face in the cliff when he went by? We forget the holiness of God. We got to begin to recognize he's a holy God. Amen?
Amen.
He humbled himself. At the end, Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself. Amen?
Yes.
I have a quote here from Spurgeon. Spurgeon was one of the greatest theologians of the time, and he's still recognized as that today. Mm-hmm. Here's what he said. The God we serve not only exists, but reigns. No other position would become but that of unlimited sovereignty over all his creatures. He's sovereign. God is sovereign over all. And his sovereignty is not limited. Amen. Amen. And so what does Nebuchadnezzar say? Continuing from verse 34. I'll have someone, so start at verse 34 again and read it through to 35.
And so, at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lived forever.
Amen.
For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation.
Hallelujah.
And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done?
Amen. So here he's declaring his recognition of the sovereignty of God, that he has an everlasting kingdom, that he does as he pleases. Remember the story, can the clay tell the potter what to do in the Bible?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But we... And today, we're under a new covenant. And God is not going to get upset if you say, what have you done? Because I've done that. When I lost my child, I said to God, what have you done? What have you done? But our God is so gracious and he is so good that he understands us when we are hurting. You know, we have a God that understands when we're hurting and we're crying out to him. But this is Nebuchadnezzar recognizing that he could not question God. Amen? He could not question God. And we don't question God in the sense that we have authority over God. No, we don't. We question God in our grief, in our hurt, you know, and God understands that because he's our Father, right? He's a Father. Jesus told us when we pray or go to him, we address him as our Father. Mm-hmm. He's Abba. He's our Father. Abba Padre. Hallelujah. And then 36, Bernice Avenit, why don't you read verse 36 through 37?
At the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down.
Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson, pride. Careful with that little green, you know, pride, not green, that little monster, pride. You feel like, oh, I'm so good, and I'm so this, and I'm so great, and blah, blah, blah. Pride, we have to be careful. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar learned his lessons. And in the NIV version, it says, let me tell you, it says, my advisors and nobles sought me out. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to go looking for them. They came looking for him. That's the honor that God restored to him, that they were willing to go looking for him and give him the honor that was now due him because he repented. He humbled himself. Amen. And then it says he was greater than before. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And like I said, why? Because he repented and he humbled himself. We have to learn the lesson of humility. We have to be willing to humble ourselves. We have to be willing to say, you were right and I was wrong. You know, we have to be willing to do that. Amen. And he honored and he praised and he glorified him as the one who lives forever and ever, the King of Heaven.
Amen.
He recognized that God is the Most High God. And he is sovereign over all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We learned. He learned his lesson. We learn a lesson from this. Amen?
Yes.
God is sovereign. Don't worry. Don't worry about what's going on. Give it to the Lord. Pray. Pray for the world. Pray for our government. Pray for each other. Be willing to humble ourselves before each other. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lesson of pride and humility, and that God is sovereign and God does whatever pleases him. Amen. Amen. Lord God, I'm going to turn this over to the pastor.